It's a story that never grows old. The grand moment when God stepped down from heaven and walked among us, both fully God and fully man. If history, science, and archaeology didn't support the credibility of Christmas, one might conclude the story is too far-fetched to believe. And yet over 2,000 years ago, Mary gave birth to a son, Emmanuel. And he changed the course of history forever. Welcome to Insight for Living and another message in Chuck Swindoll's special holiday series called From Heaven to Earth. We'll begin today's program by taking time to read the biblical record before hearing Chuck's message.
Christmas story is woven through the first few chapters of both the Gospel of Luke as well as the Gospel of Matthew. So you move from one to the other to complete the narrative in its chronological manner, which is why we can't take it all in just one of the Gospels, but we move from one to the other. You also must include John's Gospel when you go beyond, that is far back before there was even this earth. But today, we're looking at that scene where Mary first hears the story. If you have your Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 1. I want to read for you from this section, beginning at verse 26 of Luke 1. And will you, with one another, stand together for the reading of God's Word? Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, do not fear. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed. May God open our eyes to see these familiar words in unfamiliar ways and to catch a fresh glimpse of what first happened.
With that helpful context, let's move ahead to today's message. You're listening to Insight for Living. And remember, you can access today's complete sermon online at insightworld.org. Here's Chuck Swindoll on Hearing the Message.
Some of life's most significant things start in a most insignificant way. The bright lights that fill this room, for example, make all the difference in the world in a room without windows. Without the light, this room is plunged into black darkness. Only the exit signs remain burning day and night. But if you're in this room with no light, you cannot see the aisles or even the seats. As significant a thing as the lights provide, when you trace it back to the start of those lights, you come to something so insignificant that it's invisible. It's called an electric current. Just the flip of the switch and the light fills the room. The computers that most of us own and we have in our homes and offices that enable us to communicate with one another and others so quickly, along with those related devices that fill office and home, all go back, when you trace it, this significant, incredible instrument goes back to something so small, we call it a chip. Just a chip. Our health hangs on similar thin wires. Let the disease of malaria take over, and it isn't long before our bodies shake with a fever and we become delirious, and dysentery cannot be stopped, and the infection grows. And when you trace it back, it goes back to a tiny little female insect, a mosquito. The bloodiest and most tragic war that we endured as a nation began at 4:30 in the morning on April the 12th, 1861. It all started by a 10-inch mortar round that was fired on Fort Sumter, a fort that guarded the Charleston Harbor. And ultimately, over 650,000 perished. And it all began with one 10-inch shell. An insignificant beginning to such a significant result. Travel back with me in time, far back to the day when an angel was dispatched from the throne room of God out of the third heaven and found his way down to an older couple named Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias ministering at the place of worship, and Elizabeth still grieving over her barrenness, for a Jewess could not endure anything worse than being without a child all her life. And then out of the blue, we would say, Gabriel arrives. Interesting name, Gabriel. God is my hero, it means. And having left the presence of his hero, he comes to this older man named Zacharias. And he tells him that there will be joy and gladness, and you will rejoice because your wife of many years and she of older age will conceive and bear a son. Now stop. This very significant message is communicated in a most insignificant manner, reducing the old man to his anatomy and focusing attention on his hearing You come to the three smallest bones in the body, the hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. Remember from your high school biology days? Little tiny, tiny infinitesimal bones that, by the way, never grow. From the moment of birth, an infant has the same size, hammer, anvil, and stirrup, as that child will have when growing up to an adult and even reaching older age. So the hearing is intact. Words spoken in the language of Zacharias, which would be Aramaic, which Gabriel knew, of course, angels can speak in any language. And having made himself visible, he communicates to this older man, your wife will bear you a son. Now, Zacharias is not hard of hearing, but he's a little hard of listening. Because you understand, when this mechanism moves into process, it ultimately reaches the brain and finally the place where decisions are made and logic is reasoned. And Zacharias can't bring himself to believe it. In fact, if your Bible is open to Luke 1:19, you will see Gabriel announcing himself and telling him he's been sent by God to speak to you and to bring you the good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak. Now, why would Gabriel tell the old man that? Because of verse 18. When Zacharias first hears it, he says, how will I know this for certain? Those are words of unbelief. I, frankly, can't go there. I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. Come on, Gabriel. All right. The one who made the tiniest bones in your head will now silence them. And they will go on mute for the next 9 months. You will not only be able to hear, you can't hear, you will not be able to speak. In fact, if you look at verse 62, they had to make signs to him in order to communicate. When hearing is lost, speech is often lost. They go together. The point is, the one who made our anatomy can silence it, depending on the reason. Interestingly, verse 24, and not surprisingly, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. She kept herself in seclusion for 5 months. And then the angel was dispatched with another message. Talk about significant. It is the single most significant message ever communicated to someone on this earth. And will you notice, Gabriel, again, verse 26, is sent from God to this village in Galilee, Nazareth. Gabriel has been given instructions, he's been told what to say, and no doubt they have rehearsed what he will hear and how to answer. But he begins with his message. He comes, verse 27, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Twice we read in the Greek text, Parthenos, Parthenos, one who has never known a man sexually, one who has never been intimate with another. Comes to the virgin. The virgin's name is Mary. Coming in, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. And she is very perplexed. Understand, she's never read Luke 1 before. Okay? We're so familiar with it, our lips move when the story is read. But she's a servant girl. Her parents are never mentioned here in Scripture. Most likely they've died. She's somewhere between, hang on, ages 12 and 15, no older, no younger, somewhere there. And a creature from heaven stands before her and tells her she's favored. She's cleaning the house for this family and busy about her work. And Joseph is doing his carpentry work in the shop. And she's thinking about her upcoming marriage, no doubt. And out of the blue, a message, the most significant, strikes her hammer and anvil and stirrup. And she hears words. And she's perplexed. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great. Oh. By now her head is spinning, we would say. She understands the words. But unlike Zacharias, who heard and doubted, even denied it, if you will, she struggles with them. Her question is not what. She understands that. It's how. And that's why she says to the angel, verse 34, how can this be, since I am a Parthenos? She's old enough to know, we would call it, the facts of life. She certainly knows Joseph has never touched her intimately. It is anatomically impossible. There must be a sperm, there must be an egg, they must be attached. That's called conception. Can't be. I'm a virgin. The angel, already prepared for that question, answered and said to her, watch closely. Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Overshadow, isn't that a great word? And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. When you kiss your little baby, you will kiss the face of God. But the best part of all, verse 37, and this convinced her, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. That did it. No further question? Oh, surely she had a number of them. Surely they rang in her ears. She heard the words. They made the journey to her brain. And those next words, with God, nothing will be impossible, landed full force. Mary, we read, said, may it be done to me according to your word. There it is. I hear it. I believe it. I can't explain it, but I know it's going to be true. Nothing will be impossible with God. What is so marvelous about all of this is the process of getting that message into a human head relies on something so insignificant you need a microscope to study them. The little hammer and anvil and stirrup. In fact, at the risk of boring you, I did a little study on hearing, and I found this from a physician's writings. In all, the human ear distinguishes some 300,000 tones. In considering the brain, the most important fact about hearing is that the vibration itself never reaches the brain. The process resembles a compact disc, which records sound not as mechanical vibrations, but as a series of electrical and magnetic codes. Once the vibration excites its appropriate sound receptor cell, the force inside the head changes from mechanical to electrical. Thousands of wires, we call them neurons, lead from the patch of 25,000 cells into the auditory part of the brain. There, the frequencies are received in a sequence of on or off blips. Our experience of sound depends on which of these cells transmits its signal, how often, and in cooperation with what other cells. The brain pieces together these messages and we hear. How insignificant a beginning or such a significant message received. And it still goes on. It's happening right now. The old priest heard and doubted and was struck speechless and without hearing. Mary hears it, asks how, and then believes.
A powerful contrast between faith and doubt. You're listening to a special Christmas edition of Insight for Living, featuring a sermon from Chuck Swindoll titled, Hearing the Message. Now, to purchase today's study in its entirety, either on CD or downloadable audio file, go to insightworld.org. It's just one portion of a four-part series called From Heaven to Earth. Well, Chuck is here to share a personal comment with you. But first, I want to remind you that time is running out to receive your copy of the time-limited offer from Insight for Living. Right now, we're saying thank you for your generous year-end donation by providing the hardbound 300-page devotional, Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. This new book provides a 26-week reading plan through the Proverbs, along with the inspirational insight you've grown to expect from Chuck. When you give, just mention that you'd like to own the book called Living the Proverbs. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Chuck?
I had to tell you, in my home, I'm not big on electronic digital clocks. Call me old-fashioned if you want to, but I love seeing a big hand and a little hand sweeping over traditional face. And by the way, few sounds are more calming than the sound of a handcrafted grandfather clock that we have cherished through the years. But sometimes that old clock creates urgency when we remember deadlines ahead, like the one that's coming on December 31st. In just a matter of days, we'll forever put the year 2012 behind us as nothing more than a memory, and we'll quickly move into an unwritten script called the year 2013. At Insight for Living, 2013 is full of promise and expectations. And we have every intention of linking arms with friends like you, coming alongside you, and walking this journey of life together with you. As you think about our friendship in 2012 and our ministry that will continue on into 2013, let me urge you to stop for just a few moments to make an investment in Insight for Living. Make that call. Go online, or if you prefer, send us that letter. Remember, it's not the size of your gift that matters. What matters is that you do something. The pendulum is swinging and the old clock is ticking. December 31st, it's just right around the corner. As you give generously during the holiday season, we look forward to walking with you throughout the year 2013, every step of the way.
And let me explain how you can be in touch with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living. We love hearing how God has used this program to impact your life through His Word. Online, go to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, you can call right now, 1-800-772-8888. And by the way, we're pleased to let you know, shortly after the first of the year, we'll be sharing what's become a classic series at Insight for Living. So many of our loyal friends and family have shared how much this particular study transformed their perspective and renewed their walk with God. I'm referring to the Grace Awakening. That's coming up in January, so we have a lot to look forward to as a listening family. Remember, you're invited to request the new book from Chuck, a 26-week reading plan through Proverbs and inspirational devotional chapters from Chuck as well. When you give a special end-of-the-year donation, request Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Our Christmas celebration continues Friday with a holiday sermon from Chuck Swindoll called Hearing the Message on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Hearing the Message, was copyrighted in 2011, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.